Hey guys, welcome to the Human Podcast Machine. This is He Taz, and I'm about to give you my reaction to the big time hyped up pro boxing spectacle, Mayweather versus Pacquiao. And I'm going to break that down for you in this particular episode. So we're going to get into that in a second. But you got to handle things the right way. And I want to talk to you real quick about my friends, over at Pro Flowers. Of course, Mother's Day is only a week away. Mother's Day is here, basically, guys. You got to really jump on this. You know, who in your life would you say is the world's best mom? And who would get that award? I mean, it's a good problem to have if you have like a three-way tie, right? Or one. It could be your mom. It could be your wife. It could be your girlfriend. It could be your mother-in-law. It could be your grandmother, your sister. Whoever you think is the best mom, Pro Flowers is going to take care of you. I'll give you an example. My teenage son, right, he was panicked. He said, "What do I get, mom?" I said, "Look, dude, don't worry about it. Mother's Day don't have to be stressful, son." That's what I said to him. "Relax, I got you covered with my crew at Pro Flowers." Pro Flowers is offering my listeners 100 blooms with a free glass vase for just $19.99. $19.99, man, for 100 blooms with a free glass vase. Or make her day even extra special with a special upgrade. Check this out. To the premium vase and add chocolates for just $9.99 more, man. Hey, guys, so make sure you hurry up with this Pro Flowers offer using my promo code TAZ. This offer expires this Friday at midnight, so jump on it. And remember, I'm going to come at you in a second or two here with my reaction to Mayweather versus Pacquiao.
From the Red Hook section of Brooklyn, New York,
the former three-time world heavyweight champion.
Lee, if you can survive, if I let you.
Yes. He is the human suplex machine.
Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome.
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition. Love this reaction show for the celebrity edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
Hey guys, what's going on? Thank you for downloading and or subscribing this edition of the Human Podcast Machine, HPM. My name is Taz, and man, I got your reaction for this big boxing fight that happened this past Saturday night. The biggest thing going to sports. It was a crazy sports day, as we know, with the hockey game and with the Kentucky Derby and hoops. I watched some lacrosse games. There's tons of stuff going on. Capped it all off with the nightcap of the big boxing bout of Pacquiao Mayweather, and Las Vegas was hopping all week leading up to this thing. Kind of reminds me of WrestleMania week leading up to wherever WrestleMania is, that type of feel. Of course, it's the big fight, right? It's the Super Bowl of boxing. It's the World Series of boxing. It is the WrestleMania of boxing. So that's what this was. And I got to tell you this straight up right out of the box, man. I got some mixed reviews. And I'm not going to sit here and try to break down the intricacies of the physicality of the two fighters, or even the undercard, as far as the actual physicality of boxing. I'm not a boxer, never was a boxer. I would never try to delve into their expertise and disrespect other boxers or pro fighters in that regard. But I'm going to break down the fight a little bit. I'm going to break down the evening, the event that they were charging, well, $100 for, as far as pay-per-view. But I want to tell you this right now. Magic Johnson got interviewed. There was a bunch of superstars, megastars, actors, musicians, all these A-listers, all at this event, and they pumped it and kept showing you these people. Magic Johnson was one of them, the great basketball star Magic Johnson. He was interviewed by Max Kellerman before the main event, and he said, "This is great for the growth of boxing because the other fighters will grow from this," basically. Paraphrasing almost a quote, not really a quote. He was talking about the undercard, that the other fighters would grow from this. Got to tell you, I agree with Magic Johnson. It would have, could have, should have been, but it wasn't. Okay, these younger guys did not benefit from this at all. Because the production of this and the way Jim Lampley and Al Bernstein, the two announcers, namely Lampley, because he's involved in production for HBO and all that. Roy Jones was the color commentator. I thought he did a great job. I'm a fan of his. But the production of it and the way they sold the undercard or lack thereof
did nothing for these younger fighters. And I'm going to get into the featherweight title with Lomachenko and stuff against Rodriguez and Santa Cruz versus Cayetano. I always say the guy's name wrong. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But about those guys. But the thing that's just crazy to me is it's you have an opportunity here to make boxing cool. And I think that this production, they did nothing for that. Nothing. I mean, it's like I'm saying, my thoughts in this podcast, it's not going to be about the physicality of boxing. Look, it's a great sport, boxing. It's in a hole. Let's be honest. It's in a hole. And it's no more. It's not that the topical water cooler conversation sports/entertainment on a weekly or monthly or hell, a quarterly basis. No one talks about boxing no more. This fight, everybody did. 5-6 years in the making, all the hype, you know, that we're going to see these guys do battle, you know, all the hype, all the waiting. Yeah, they sold that well. But they didn't, the fight sucked. You know, we know that. Okay, I mean, everybody, no one liked the fight. And I'll get into that later on here. But look at the packages. I mean, they're doing packages on the main event, meaning video packages. They were beautifully done, well produced. How about the undercard guys? You got my money already. You got my $100. Get over the new guys. I'm not leaving. I paid money to watch this. Let me learn about the new Pacquiao, about the new Mayweather, the new whatever, Mike Tyson or Evander Holyfield or whatever, you know, Muhammad Ali, Ken Norton, all these great legendary boxers, Lennox Lewis, whoever. You got a monster audience to expose the new Mayweather, the new Pacquiao. They had the Russian kid, Lomachenko, okay? I'm a casual boxer fan, like 90% of the folks tuning in. Casual boxer fan. I learned a little bit about Lomachenko. Very little. Whatever they said about him during the fight, the kid's obviously a friggin' stud, okay? There's no doubt about it. He's going to be a big star. They blew an opportunity to build this kid even more, to learn about some character development on this guy. They blew it. Completely blew it. And same thing with Santa Cruz. They blew it with him too. I mean, they don't care about building the game. I mean, they just want a huge money grab once or twice a year. Really? That's what you guys in boxing are doing? Because that's what it is. You can't compare this. Forget about sports entertainment, pro wrestling, WWE, or any other wrestling company. Okay, because wrestling companies do it right. But we're an entertainment company that's physical. But UFC has kicked the living hell out of boxing. MMA has beat down boxing over the years. It's because MMA, namely UFC, have paid attention to pro wrestling or WWE and watch the way production's done. Watch how you build characters. Boxing don't do that. Look, even from a social media standpoint, guys, no hashtag bug on the screen so people can get in the conversation to see what the hashtag. I'm hashtagging, I'm tweeting during the fight. Pacquiao, Mayweather, May Pack. I don't know what's the right one. Put it on the friggin' screen so people know what to get involved with. It's 2015, boxing. It's not 1940 anymore. They got zero interest in interacting with the fans. I mean, really. They're more focused on bragging and promoting all the amount of these giant superstars from mainstream entertainment that are in attendance. Okay, great. I got it. You know, WWE does that too. But WWE gives you product. They give you product, content, character development. Ring of Honor does that. TNA does that. Lucha Underground does that. Hell, I mean, New Japan, during that big New Japan show they did with GWF, that JR was the play-by-play guy on at New Year's. They did packages so you can learn about these Japanese superstars. Boxing don't do crap. Nothing. Because they don't care. They don't care. And I learned that watching this event. I haven't watched boxing in a long time. I'm a casual fan, like I said. I was a big Tyson fan back in the day like everybody else. Watching this thing, it's almost like the same way it was watching the CompuPunch computer says this guy threw this many fights. All right, who do you have winning this round? I have this guy winning. All right, Joe Blow, who'd you have winning? I have this guy. Are you serious, guys? It's the same old, same old. Really? And you got some young guys that people can gravitate to. Like the featherweight title match with Lomachenko versus Rodriguez, right? But, you know, I mean, that was a perfect example of how you could really build this kit. I got to take care of some business right here and jump into something. Bear with me. Because, you know, a lot of fancy mainstream entertainment superstars, they were dressed very nicely, as we could tell. And I'm gonna tell you about someone that's jumping on my show here, getting involved, and that's a company called Bombfell, who I believe in. So let me take care of this business. I want you to listen to me, support this, hear me out on this thing. Bombfell, B-O-B-O-M-B-F-L, Bombfell, like for a bomb and you fell, right? Bombfell, yo, check it out. It's a personal styling service. Your own stylist to help make you look great. I got you covered, man. Check this out. Us as guys, we hate to shop, but we like to look good in our daily lives. We know this, right or wrong. My boys over at Bombfell, they're going to hook you up, basically. They got a way to make it easy for you not to leave the house to go buy stuff. All you got to do, you go on Bombfell's site, and all you got to do is give your height, your weight, your measurements, and the places you like to shop. Tell them the budget you want to spend, because that's what I did with them. And I got my stuff, and it's legit stuff, and you only pay for the items that you keep. They take care of all the shipping and handling, all that stuff, returns, no problem. It's a very easy process. You could pause this anytime. You can cancel anytime. No questions asked. It's great stuff. It comes right to your doorstep. You know, basically a whole outfit, whatever, jeans, shirt, sports jacket, whatever, button-down shirt. No hidden fees of any kind. So you only pay the clothes that you keep. You have 10 days to try on the clothes you receive at your doorstep, and you keep the stuff you want. You return the rest, guys. It's that simple. No gimmicks, no nothing. Put your wardrobe on autopilot with Bombfell.com. Go to Bombfell.com/Taz, T-A-Z. Use my code, T-A-Z, Bombfell.com/Taz. You're going to get hooked. Check out Bombfell. Now back to the featherweight title match with Lomachenko versus Rodriguez. Look, Rodriguez got housed. He got killed. He got destroyed. Lomachenko beat the snot out of him. Okay, the guy was over his head, Rodriguez. He definitely couldn't deal with Lomachenko. I mean, top five. What would Roy Jones say? He looked at Lomachenko as top five pound for pound boxer around. You know, Roy Jones puts that endorsement on you. I'm in. And then you watch this kid's lateral movement. Again, not a boxer here, but I'm an athlete. I was a wrestler. I'm a martial artist. I'm in the ring. I understand athleticism and foot speed, first step explosion. You watch Lomachenko's feet, the way his lateral movement is, it's unbelievable. This kid's a stud. Rodriguez kept holding on to him and low blows. And Lomachenko kept complaining to the ref. And it wasn't exciting. Two young guys, and they didn't make the fight exciting. The rules are, he's holding the guy, and the other guy's complaining. The house is empty. There's nobody in the building yet because they're waiting. They're getting there late because they're waiting for the main event. I mean, and then the finish of the fight was, Rodriguez couldn't answer the 10 count. It was the most flat, horrible finish, that you could find. The guy's like, oh, what happened? It's 10? And he just got off his knee because he took a bad body shot. I mean, come on. I'm not blaming these guys, but it's just like it's the rules they're in. I mean, I just think boxing needs to change. They need to evolve. Like baseball's trying to evolve. Baseball's another thing that's boring as hell. And they're trying to change some things up. Whatever, instant replay, all this other jazz. Speed the game up. You know, you watch sports like football. You watch basketball. You know, everybody knows I'm a big lacrosse fan. You watch lacrosse. You watch hockey. You watch, soccer, World Cup stuff. This stuff is moving, man. It's excitement. It's energy, exuberance. You know, boxing's become, they just haven't changed. They're just stuck in the mud, old school, looking for this gigantic money grab once a year. And then for that fight with Lomachenko and Rodriguez, I don't remember seeing any video packages on either of these guys. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's an opportunity in the early in the broadcast. People already paid now. Pay-per-view, right? You paid. Put the hashtag on, they call it a bug in TV talk, B-U-G, bug. Put the bug on the screen like you see TNA do or WWE do or Ring of Honor. So we know what we're going to tweet about and what we're going to utilize as a hashtag. It's friggin' promotion 101. I mean, it's just stuck in the mud, this old school, what are we doing? We're going to have the attitude in boxing of the old arena, smoke-filled arena with the spotlight over the ring. Like we're in some civic little armory in Brooklyn or Philadelphia, with a bunch of old guys with hats on, gangsters, mafia guys smoking cigarettes, betting on the fight. Hey, who do you got? I got this guy. Please. I think it's evolved since then a little bit. You charge on $100 for this friggin' pay-per-view. Evolve with the times. Don't have this old school stupid attitude. It's ridiculous. I mean, I think boxing's trying to stay the failure and subservient to UFC and mixed martial arts. I really do. I mean, look. Santa Cruz versus Caienteo, right? I mean, Lampley buries the guy Caienteo, buries him on the entrance. What I learned about Caienteo was he's a construction worker that I think that sells auto insurance. Really? Really, Lampley? The money you make, your involvement with these guys all the years, you're supposed to be an expert, that's how you build talent? Are you frigging kidding me? You share with the world that he's a construction worker that sells auto insurance and you laugh at him. And during the bout, all the announcers laugh at the guy. I understand you want to sell him as a blue-collar guy who's paying his dues. Do a package. Show me him working construction. Show me him going to the gym after working construction, how hard this is. You know why? Guys like me can relate to that, who did what he did to become famous in a sport. I worked for a railroad. I dug holes every day, 8 to 5. I'd leave digging holes for a railroad company and drive to the gym and lift weights for 2 hours and use any personal days I have to wrestle on the weekends to make 40, 50 bucks at a wrestling match. That's what I did. So I can relate to a guy like Caienteo. And I think a lot of you fans out there, boxing or not, or casual boxing fans like me, would love to learn about that. So let's see this guy work in construction or at some cheap-ass auto insurance place selling insurance, showing him chomping at the bit and how this fight means everything to him. Because he's fighting the great Santa Cruz, and if he could beat this guy, he don't have to work construction no more. Let me hear him say that. Let me hear a translator if you don't speak English. Show me a friggin' video package and put some time into the money you're charging me. $100. You did nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So it infuriates the hell out of me. And obviously, that's why I'm passionate about this, and I'm telling you guys. And for some of you boxing enthusiasts, you might hate what I'm saying. If you love boxing, you're going to hate this. You're going to hate this podcast. I'm sorry, but I'm just being real here. I mean, it's just they did nothing at all to build the game, to grow the game. And it's not what it was, boxing guys, boxing experts, boxing aficionados. It's not. Boxing is in the rearview mirror. And by what they did last night, it shows they want to stay in the rearview mirror. The main event, it was a joke. A joke. It shows you. That's the rules. You fight defensively. You run and dip and dodge. And they go by, CompuScore. He only landed this many. So that's why he didn't land all his punches, Pacquiao. So Mayweather won because he didn't do anything. He just ran and dipped and dodged. That's the rules. I know that, guys. I understand. So by the way the rules go, I got it. Watch UFC. The more aggressive guy, if it's a decision, wins the fight. The aggressor wins the fight. I don't care what anybody says. My opinion, Pacquiao was the aggressor. Just my view. Maybe you guys don't agree, and that's totally cool. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you what I saw, okay? But I'll tell you this. I tweeted about it, too, during the fight. You know, they were gearing the audience, the Jim Lampley. They were gearing, constantly talking every friggin' round about the judges and about the, they were gearing us towards a decision. That was going to be a decision. It was so obvious. It just jumped out like just a red light to me. And sure enough, that's what happened. You know, look, I'm an old-school wrestling guy, right? I'm from sports entertainment, so to me, everything's a work, you know? So I apologize for that. I can't help it. To me, everything's rigged, you know? So, but, you know, I thought the fight sucked. I really did, and I thought that it was great. It was a ton of people there, and both these boxers made millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know, and you won't see boxing like this for a long time or for another year because they need another money grab. It's a money grab because they're not trying to grow the game. They're not trying to build the game like they did back in the day. I don't know whose fault it is. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's promoters, obviously, but and TV networks, I guess. But I don't understand. I mean, you had an opportunity to grow young fighters and to grow the game. To a big, big level because you had a grand stage and you guys made millions upon millions of dollars. And that's why I tweeted about Pacquiao. He's always got this grin on his face throughout the fight. He's got Jimmy Kimmel behind him dressed like Run DMC. I mean, the other guy, the Hamburglar, whatever, Burger King, McDonald's guy, whatever the hell he is, he's running around. It's a joke. It's a joke. I mean, and the guy's grinning like crazy, Pacquiao. And I tweeted because he's got that shit-eating grin on his face because his wallet's tickling his ass. That's why, you know, he don't care. Hey, Pacquiao, what are you going to do now after the fight? Max Kellerman asked him. Oh, I'm going to go on vacation. Okay. So, I mean, you know, I feel like I got worked, and I did. I mean, really, I shouldn't have spent the money. It was just a dumb move by me. All right, I should also promote it that I'm going to have a Taz Tale in this edition on the other side of the break. Taz Tale's been gone for a little while, but it's back, baby. Going to bring you a little Taz Tale. So we're going to get that right after the break. So sit tight. Don't go anywhere. Cover right back. That's my opinion on the whole boxing thing. I thought it sucked. I got worked. I'm a mark, and I lost $100, and I'm pissed off at boxing, and I just think they're stuck in the mud. Boxing in the rearview mirror. If you disagree, I would love to butt heads with you because I don't know how you can say they're not. They proved it, yes, in their production. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. As most of you guys know, my opinion's always correct. Joke. All right, we'll be right back here. Come right back with some Taz Tale. I'm going to tell you a little story about Magnum TA. Interesting. Be right back. I'm Taz. Sit tight. Look, you guys know how much I love Harry's. Really, I mean, you guys are tweeting me. You're tweeting me stuff about Harry's. You're showing me your starter kit that personal shave kit that you received from Harry's. You used my code TAZ. You got this big discount. You guys, I'll retweet it. Send me that stuff. Keep giving a love to Harry's. Look, if you're not sure, if you're not familiar with Harry's, you get a personal shave kit right to your doorstep. Three German-engineered blades, man. These things are made in Germany. These two cats that own Harry's, they bought this facility in Germany. This big factory is close to 100 years old, this factory, and that's who makes their blades. And then you get, anyway, let me back up. So you get this personal shave kit. You get these three sharp blades that go on your handle that comes with the personal shave kit. You also get a beautiful bottle of shaving cream, which I use this all the time. I shave with Harry's on a regular basis. My kid uses it all the time. And you get a handle with it, a cool handle. You can pick your color on it, I believe. So you get three blades made in Germany, shaving cream, which is beautiful, a handle, which is awesome, and you get free shipping, guys, right to your doorstep. German-engineered blades, the whole deal, like I said, harrys.com. Use TAZ at checkout. Check out this, man. $5 off the starter set. That's a month's worth of shaving, guys, for just $10. A month's worth of shaving for $10. Use TAZ at checkout, and you are basically on your way to having a beautiful face like me. Everybody knows my face is awesome. So jump on harrys.com, put TAZ at checkout, $5 off your starter set, month's worth of shaving for $10, guys. Jump on Harry's.
Well, the wait is finally over. Baseball season is here at last, and the excitement continues all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash, instant gratification. Why wait till the end of the season to claim your victory when you can win huge cash every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just select two pitchers, eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to an enormous payday. Last year, check this out. Last year, Peter from Colorado, he won $1 million at DraftKings, yo, in one day. Just by playing fantasy baseball. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now and enter promo code Taz, that's T-A-Z, to play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. Use promo code Taz for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com.
Boys and girls, pull up your stools. It is now time for Taz Tales.
All right, guys, we are back right here on the Human Podcast Machine. I hope you guys enjoyed my reaction there. We're going to get to Taz Tale in 1 second. Hope you guys enjoyed my reaction to Mayweather-Pacquiao, so and my whole perception and feel on boxing. Well, you know, it wasn't too positive, but it was definitely, opinionated, but I feel strongly about it. So I hope you guys dug it. So this Taz Tale, I talked about Magnum TA a little bit. I'm going to get into that right now, and I want to tell you, I have to say this right on the top, this edition of Taz Tales is sponsored by Mack Weldon, yo. Check this out, Mack Weldon. You might not be familiar with them. I'm going to tell you about it right now. Everybody loves 20% off of anything, right? I know I do. 20% off of anything to me is awesome. But nevertheless, check this out. Mack Weldon has the highest quality of shirts, socks, and underwear for dudes, man. You're going to find the best stuff you're going to find anywhere, and that's legit. Go on their website and check it out, mackweldon.com. And I'm telling you, not many dudes are fans of walking up to a register and buying underwear. It's a personal thing. You know what I mean? But this stuff, you don't have to do that. You do it from your laptop, your phone, whatever. You order online. MacWeldon.com will help you out, bro. It's easy. From boxer briefs to trunks, undershirts, socks. It's all legit stuff. I bought their starter kit, okay? I used my code, which is weird, right? Weird. I use my own code for stuff. I bought their starter kit on MacWeldon.com. And this is what's in the starter kit. It's a crew neck undershirt, which I got a bright white one. Trunk underwear. I want the true black. I, you know, back in black, bro, on the underwear. That's my deal. You know what I mean? I got striped socks. Long story. I don't want to get into that. And a signature bag is included. So you go in there. You type my promo code, T-A-Z, T-A-Z, Taz. And boom, you get 20% off, dude, of anything on MacWeldon.com. Type the promo code TAZ, get 20% off of your order. That's Mac, M-A-C-K, Weldon, W-E-L-D-O-N.com. Type in TAZ and get to saving 20% on some badass clothes from Mac Weldon. Now, Taz Tales. So here's the deal. Years and years and years ago, many, many moons ago, way before the ECW years, way before I really got an opportunity to get a break anywhere, I was, I was wrestling indies all over the place, training my butt off, just trying to get noticed somewhere. I had a trip to Japan, a small trip, did well there, but I kept sending VHS tapes. For you younger guys, that's a, yeah, this was before DVDs and before you could send a link. So for you older cats, you know what I mean. I would send a VHS tape to basically WWF at the time on a regular basis, the AWA, World Class in Texas, the NWA down in Carolinas. I would send stuff to the Hearts out up in Calgary. I would just constantly trying to get booked and how to try to market myself, you know, via the mail, you know, FedEx and stuff. Or there was no emails, there was no social media, you know, it was hard. So it's a lot easier, I think, today for wrestlers to get the word out about themselves. But back then, you just had to find your way. And so I would send tapes, no lie, to the AWA, AWA, and WWF at the time, WWF, weekly. Highlight tapes of myself. I mean, it was basically the same two tapes all the time, just hoping they would get it. And I would send like an a letter to them and, hey, this is my name, this is who I am, this is where I'm from, this is who trained me, this is where I've wrestled, here's you know, people that could vouch for me, just trying to get a hook. And I always put my phone number. Now, I lived in my parents' house, but I wasn't doing well financially. I was in the basement. I didn't have a phone line. So my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she lived at home too, and I would use, she had her own phone line because she had a legitimate job and she worked. So she was responsible and smart, and I learned how to be a smarter person from her. So anyway, I would use her phone line, her hard line, as my contact, you know. And again, no cell phones back then. So this was probably 1989, maybe 1990, somewhere, 91 maybe, somewhere in that world, right? Probably 89. I'm so bad with years, I apologize. But it was a Saturday morning, I'll never forget it. And I'm at a gym on Long Island working out, just lifting. And I get paged at the gym on the loudspeaker. Now, I never would get paged. So they call me, and I knew the guy at the desk, and, you know, his name was Joe. I said, Joe, what's up? He goes, bro, you got to call your girlfriend. She left a message for you here. She said to call her at home. I got nervous. I thought something was wrong. I'm like, oh, my God. So I said, dude, can I just use your phone? Because I didn't have any quarters on me to use the pay phone, right? So I'm showing my age here, right? So he said, yeah, no problem. Just use the gym phone because, you know, guys weren't really allowed to use the phone. But, you know, they let me use the phone because, well, I was over. But I'm joking. I was friends with the guy. So I call her at her home on her line. She goes, I got home. I was at the store with my sister, and there was a voicemail. There's a voicemail here for you from Magnum TA from the NWA. I'm like, what? I'm like, she goes, yeah. She goes, he left his phone number and said, please call him as soon as possible. And this is a Saturday morning. I'm like, all right, I'll be right there. And I didn't think to get the number from her, and I wouldn't want to call from the gym anyway. I wanted to be like in a quiet room to talk to him. So I just grabbed my gym bag, just blew off the rest of the workout, got in my car, drove. She lived about 15 minutes from the gym. drove to her house, and I was so excited, man. Just holy, just, oh, man, this is my break. And as I'm driving for 15, 20 minutes, I think, this is it, man. This is it. I'm going to get my final, my first shot, you know, in the United States to really make it. This is awesome. The NWA, dude, this is crazy. Dusty Rhodes, you know, Ric Flair, whoever was there, you know, the Horseman, you know, the Road Warrior, all these guys, you know, Sting. It was just like, you know, it was the coolest show you could find on TV, and it was just like the coolest thing. The NWA, you kidding me? So I get to her place. I run in. I go up in her room. I listen to the voicemail. I'm like, God, I thought it was a rib. I'm thinking, I listened to the voicemail. I've had it be four times. I thought it was one of the boys, one of my friends, like, you know, ribbing me, you know what I mean? And sure enough, man, it wasn't. And I call the number, and he answers the phone. It was an office number. He was in the office, I guess, on a Saturday. And I introduced myself. And he goes, oh, man, I'm talking about, I was wrestling as Tasmaniac, I believe. And, we've seen your tapes and all this stuff, and saw your matches on the tapes. God, you're really, really talented. I mean, telling you, this is great. And I knew, that's the thing I'm going to tell you, I knew they had a show that night in Baltimore, a house show. So I'm like, yo, maybe they want me to go to this house show to try me out, because they used to do that kind of stuff back in the day. So I'm thinking, any plans I had, I'm going to cancel. I got to run back to my house. My girlfriend lived on Long Island, and I lived at that time in Queens. So I would have to run to Queens to get my gear. And I'm like, oh, man, no problem. I could do it, because then I'm closer to Baltimore from Queens, right? I had this whole thing planned in my head before I even get this guy on the hook, on the phone. So he goes, yeah, we love everything about you. God almighty, oh, my God, yeah. Can I ask you a favor? And I go, yeah, sure, whatever it is, sir, whatever you need, you know, whatever. Magnetair, you kidding me? This guy's like a stud, you know, and he was part of the office, like, I guess, you know, he was in with Dusty Rhodes or whatever, and Dusty was the book, I believe, at that time. I don't remember who was the head guy, because they had a lot of different people changing there, from Bill Watts and so on and so forth, Mike Graham, all these different guys back then. And he says to me, well, do you have Mondo Clean's phone number? Now, for those that don't know, Mondo Clean was a guy who in the WWF had a very short run. I think it was on the first Monday Night Raw ever. Damian Demento. Unbelievable look. Great, crazy look. Crazy, big dude, muscular guy. Kind of like just this really demonic, sick look. And could work. Was a tremendous athlete. Big dude, like 6'3", probably 270. And just was an athlete, like a legit athlete. Had these big shoulder pads with these horns on it and his fur. Now, Damian Demento, I call him Mondo Clean was his first name. We got trained. We started wrestling school basically a week apart with Johnny Rods years ago in Brooklyn. So we knew each other from day one. He was from Staten Island. He actually played football at Wagner College and was a very good football player. So we traveled a lot together, and we were friends, but he was kind of a weird cat, you know, like, you know, he would do kind of messed up shit, to be honest. Like, he would get booked on shows because everybody wanted him, all these independent promoters. And he would, like, say, okay, look, I can get you booked with me, but I need, like, you know, 10% of your money. Or I need 20% of your money. That's what he used to do. And none of us were making a lot of money. And he was making the most money. And, he, you know, and we'd have to go put him over, do the job for him. And he would just take, you know, scalp money from us. You know, just tell, he wouldn't lie about it. He would just say, I'm telling the promoter, you know, whatever, you're going to, you know, you're supposed to get whatever, you know, and I'm taking 10, 15% of your money. Otherwise, we don't have to work. But everybody wants me, so, you know, I can keep getting you booked. So he's making double money. He was, you know, was a scumbag, you know. So, but you know what? I needed to get booked. He was the hot thing, and everybody liked him and booked him, and so you had to jump on it. So, anyway, so now all that goes through my head that I just told you that quick, you know, how kind of bad business I felt and how uncool Mondo was. And I got the NWA exit for his phone number. So I'm like, well, he goes, well, look, here's the deal, man. We have a house show tonight in Baltimore. And now I'm like, I was deflated, but I'm thinking, oh, man, maybe he wants me to work with Mondo. This will be great. We always have good matches. He goes, yeah, so we got this house show in Baltimore. I said, yeah, no, I'm aware. He goes, okay, cool. And, you know, he's in New York, right? So we want to check him out tonight on a house show. Figure he can get there tonight. I got to get word to him right away. If you can give me his number, I would appreciate it. So I could have been a scumbag. I wanted to be a scumbag and not give him the number. But I said, Yeah, sure, sir. Hold on. Let me grab my book. Because I used to keep phone numbers in a black book. Again, no phones, no contact list on a laptop or your cell phone. So he said, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. And I grabbed my book, which was in my gym bag and with the phone numbers. And I gave him Mondo's number. And he goes, oh, man, I appreciate it. I go, thank you, sir. And I said, I just hope that you guys could keep me in mind. And if you need any more tapes, he goes, oh, just keep sending tapes and we'll definitely keep you in mind. And I go, good. He goes, what do you think about Mondo Clean? He asked me my opinion. I said, oh, he's very talented. He's a big guy and fast. And he's a good worker for a newer guy. We broke in together, He goes, oh, did you? I go, yeah. It's on my resume. So I knew he didn't read my resume. So all the guys I was breaking in with. And I said, yeah, I said, I think he's excellent. I said, he goes, yeah, we think he's going to be a big star. We really think he's going to be a big star. We want to do a lot of business with him. I said, great. I hope he does great. He goes, all right, brother. He goes, we'll keep you in mind. I said, okay, thank you, sir. Bye-bye. And that was that. So that was a moment for me. Well, let me tell you the rest of the story before I go into that. I right away called Mondo. And left him a voicemail, I believe, on his home phone, a detailed message telling him that he was going to hear from Magnum PA, and I congratulated him. And he called me back about 5 minutes later. He said, oh, really? He goes, you're not ribbing me? It's a shoot. I go, yeah, it's a shoot, dude. They're going to call you. The guy called me and looking for your number, so I hooked you up. And I'm thinking, dude, so whatever you make, I want to get 10%. That's what I should have said to the guy, but I didn't say that. I said, I'm not like that, and he said, oh, wow. He goes, cool. Well, thanks for doing that. I go, yeah, no problem. He thanked me, and he said, I'll put the word in for you. I said, well, yeah, thanks. I'm thinking, you got to get a job first, dude. You know what I mean? So maybe he was trying to be nice. I don't know, but I was a little bitter. I was younger. I was, and look, whatever. And he went on to not have any success there or really anywhere else. So I guess good things happen to good people, and unfortunately, there's karma in life too. So, but that's kind of what happened. It's a shoot about my rub a little bit there with the NWA, and really was no rub. So I mean, which led to kind of those were just some of the little nuggets that made me become during my prime, the angry, sort of bitter guy that I was in the ring and on promos and some guys say backstage back then. Those were some of the things. I'm being accountable. I'm not blaming that, but I'm saying those type of things happened to me a lot, where I was always the bridesmaid, never the bride type thing. I wish I had a better cliche. That's kind of sounds a little soft, but whatever, you guys get it. But it helped build character in me and make me become successful. Those were motivational tools for me. Of course, to get a call from the NWA, and I think, here we go, man, this is it. And then they pulled the rug out from under me. Quite frankly, I thought that was a little rough right there back then that happened, that Magnum did that. But, whatever. He needed the guy's number, I guess, and it didn't matter. And I ended up years later, when I was in the WWE as a color commentator, we were down somewhere in Norfolk or Richmond, somewhere in Virginia, I think, or the Carolinas, wherever we were, doing a SmackDown. And Magnum TA was there. And he came backstage to meet someone, to say hello to some of the boys, whatever. And he walked over to me, and we never really officially met. And he smiled. He goes, hey, Taz, how you doing, man? I don't know if you remember me. I said, yes, sir. I don't know if you remember that phone call. And he goes, he really kind of didn't, but, and I said, yeah, he goes, yeah, no, I think we met somewhere else, and because I had some tryout matches with the NWA, WCW, whatever it was, years after that, when Bill Watts was in charge at Center Stage in Atlanta, Georgia, and I think, I didn't realize it then, but I think Magnum and I met each other briefly, And at that time, I humbly say, when I officially met Magnum when I was in the WWE backstage, I already had a very lucrative, successful career as a wrestler and was flourishing well as a broadcaster for WWE on SmackDown. So I was doing pretty good. And I got to say, man, it felt good, man. It just felt good when that gentleman walked over to me, Magnum DA, and I already accomplished what I accomplished after all those years. I'm about motivation. I get ticked off quick with that stuff. And if you doubt me, I'm going to put it in your face one way or the other. That's just me. I guess I'm petty. But you got to be driven. And you do one of two things when you fail at something or when you get bad news. You either fold your tent and cave and go under a rock, or you stand up taller, you knuckle up even tighter, clench your fist harder, and punch faster and more furious with more intent. That's kind of what I've been about my whole life. And so anyway, I don't want to get too more deep into that, but that's basically what happened. There's your Taz tale, boys and girls. And I hope you guys enjoyed my reaction to Mayweather, Pacquiao, and boxing in general. And I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. And thank you so much for supporting my sponsors and supporting my show, HPM, here and on the Human Podcast Machine. And I'm going to keep coming at you with more shows this week. Keep your eyes on my Twitter, @OfficialTaz. Check me out on Instagram @TazTalk. That's 1Z, Taz Talk. I'm new to the Instagram thing, so trying to get some followers there. Help a brother out, you know what I'm saying? And that's really it. So until next time this week, I'll talk to you guys soon, give you some more reaction stuff, and gonna talk at you this real soon here on the Human Podcast Machine. My name is Taz. Yours is not. See ya.